Hello, Benjamin Payne, Liberty and Payne, episode whatever, one I guess. I hit record on the road because I had a thought. Things are not what they seem. Philosophy, theology, science, history, past, present, future, politics, nothing is what it seems. If you think you have it figured out, you must be a student, not a teacher. 20-something millennial in a classroom, staring at their professor, you know, who thinks as they digest the material for the day, thinks that they understand the topic and they have all the information to draw conclusions. That's the student, because the professor may act like he has it all figured out and like he thoroughly understands, you know, what's behind, underneath every layer of the onion. But the professor knows that he doesn't, and that he's learning every day. And he may be ahead of the student, so the student can look up to him and idolize him. But he knows that he's a student himself. Ultimately, discernment is the ability to connect dots and seemingly unconnected things become part of a larger picture that may not have been visible at a glance. Imagine a 1,000-piece puzzle and dumped out on the table, and get rid of the box top. You can't see the picture before you begin. And as each one of those pieces of the puzzle are snapped into place, you know, maybe you think you understand what you're seeing in a 4-inch by 4-inch section. You know, you're sure that it's a forest scene, a beach. But if you had the box top, you would realize that you're actually just looking at a snapshot in one corner of what is actually a cityscape. You know, and that small section is a park, a woodland area on the edge of the cityscape. The best analogy I can think of is you're standing on the deck of a cruise ship, looking out across the vast expanse of the Pacific Ocean. And your average person thinks that they see the Pacific Ocean. But you don't, really. You're seeing a layer of the ocean that is one molecule thick. For 20 miles in every direction, you are seeing a layer that is one molecule thick. Even if you manage to peel back that molecule, you're only seeing a second layer that's one molecule thick. You're never getting the big picture until you peel away and digest layer upon layer upon layer. It's a foreign concept to me that anyone out there believes that they understand the big picture. You know, the average person, the average Walmart shopper, if you will, has no discernment whatsoever. You know, they're like a zombie. And as much as I hate that term, I believe that that term is something coined by the elite as a label for the unwashed masses that they look down on. Yet, you know, it's probably appropriate. Because most people have one-track minds. They may be able to shift tracks, but at any given time, they're focused on something in front of them. And they spend more time trying to find distractions from the important things in life than they do plating, consuming, and digesting those important things. The average Walmart shopper would be happy to just slave away at their, you know, 8 hour a day job, take home their $10 an hour wage, and spend it as quickly as they can on some new distraction. When most of what is set on the table for the people to consume is all empty, completely empty. You know, it's ironic when you think of the biggest show on TV as The Walking Dead. And it's such a profound, significant occurrence that a new season has come out. That I literally saw ads on the internet for bank loans, if I recall correctly. That in the ad, this banner was formatted, the font, the colors, and the scene in the background of this banner was a zombie scene, zombies walking across the field, you know, while the tagline was, get a great loan. Draws everyone's attention to it because most people, you know, the new season of The Walking Dead is so significant to them that they think that the ad is about this thing that they're so interested in. And again, the irony is, zombies for zombies. They really think we're complete idiots. And maybe they're right. Again, it doesn't matter. You pick your topic. The common person lives by a philosophy that they're fed and has a hard time coming up with an original concept. But I'm not necessarily about original. You know, in my opinion, older is better. Tried, true, tested, proven methods of everything. You know, label it progressive, if you will. We're progressing. Progressing towards some new paradigm. But it's not progress. Because if you've already figured something out, or you think you have, especially in the natural world, you know, creation, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. The system in human culture across all races, nationalities, across the entire span of human history. The family structure. Husband and wife, children. Has always been the same. But we got a new version, right? Because we're progressive. When really the older way is better. The male, female differences that are beautiful suddenly need to be the same. A man can be a woman can be a man. You know, the construction of the family unit, the nuclear family unit, can be different. The way it's been for the last 10,000 years doesn't matter. In a span of two generations, we're going to change it and create a new model that's just fine. Because we're progressive. What amazes me is the diversity, real diversity around us. They're trying to remove the things that make us different because it's somehow unfair. And that if you insist that men and women are different, then, you know, then you are somehow discriminating. That's insane. Creation is more diverse. You know, so diverse, so complex, multi-layered, and elaborate that you can't even comprehend it. It's incalculable. So why do we have to be the same? I mean, you know, again, the beauty of creation. God obviously loves diversity. I mean, I've said to people before, I challenge you to find any two items. You name it. Two pencils. Two stones. You know, but even outside of nature, manufactured items like a pencil. Find me two pencils that are the same. You can't. Two plastic widgets that are identical. Two Happy Meal toys. You can't. Because if you look closely, you will find differences. And even if in the manufacturing process they so painstakingly made them identical, then look closer still. And if you still can't find a difference, zoom in. Because at some level, you will find differences. Lots of them. I mean, it's back to the analogy of looking over the Pacific Ocean from the deck of a cruise ship and thinking that you see the Pacific Ocean. No. It's 1,000 feet deep. How many layers of molecules is that? I mean, look up at a mountain peak covered in snow. You know, what do you see? Well, get closer. A giant stone shooting up into the sky above the horizon. That, again, you can't even calculate the variations in that stone. And you know, that's without going to, you know, find me any two ponderosa pines on that mountainside that are the same. Find me any two pine needles on one of those ponderosa pines that are identical. We don't even need to get into the snowflakes. I like words that have multiple meanings. I like to describe people as snowflakes. I've been in sales for 20 plus years. I've interacted with more human beings than I could ever possibly count. That outside of that interaction, I do not know, have never met, and will probably never meet again. No two of them were alike. So humans are like snowflakes, like fingerprints, each individually unique. And what's amazing is that you run that back through human history, there's, you know, 7 billion people on planet Earth in the 21st century. Well, how many were there last generation? The generation before and before and before and before and before to creation. Add all of those human beings up, every human being that's ever lived, and you will not find two that are the same. So, like snowflakes, right? But right now in the news, snowflake means something different. Our culture in this once great country has raised a generation of snowflakes. From birth they're all coddled and told how special and unique they are. Well, that's true. Yep. Just another, granule in the massive pile of God's creation. Speck. Obviously, we're more important than your average speck, but regardless, yeah, you're unique, all right. The problem is the, Dr. Spock timeout culture that these children were raised in, followed by an indoctrination in the, public school system, and then higher education is even worse. They're all taught to believe they're so unique and special that no one should ever step on their individuality. You want to have blue hair, you go right ahead, little Johnny. And when, that company doesn't hire you for that job that you want because you have blue hair, well, they're just discriminating against your individual snowflake-ness. That's not what it means. There's rules. In sales, as a manager of people, I ain't hiring a salesperson with blue hair. No one will buy anything from them. I have every right to discriminate against that person. Because I'm attempting to hire someone who will, do something productive for me. And if their individuality may get in the way of that productivity, then I have every right to discriminate. So again, older is better. I started on the topic of things are not what they seem. And things are not what they seem. Because older is better, and we live in a progressive society, it's creating an illusion. Smoke and mirrors, sleight of hand. A holographic reality here. That discriminating against the person with blue hair, the progressive way, is a bad thing. When really, that's an illusion. It's not a bad thing. It's just not. Unless you want your sales organization to be less productive. I mean, that's the side effect of this progressive decision, this illusion of being all-inclusive and letting everyone in, no matter how they demonstrate their individuality, their snowflakedness. That's an illusion, because what you're left with is a failing company, to run with the analogy, that can't produce a sale, is then bankrupt and employs no one. So I'm not coming up with anything profound here, but these are all illusions. I don't know why I started with this topic, but things are not what they seem. I can run with another analogy, and it's just stuff that's in the news. It cracks me up that one of these greeny tree huggers will buy their Prius and think they're saving the environment when they drive their little electric car home and plug it into the wall to charge it up. Are you kidding me? Do you know where electricity comes from? A coal power plant. So basically your Prius runs on coal. It burns coal. Like a 19th century locomotive. And that concept would make that tree hugger cry, but they can't wrap their heads around it. Because they're staring at the molecule on the surface. They're staring at a 4-inch by 4-inch piece of the puzzle. I'm just trying to, let you into my head. Pick your topic. and what lies on the surface is a complete and total illusion. I work for a company, a Fortune 500, that 3 years ago filed bankruptcy. 3 years later, after shuffling everything around with an army of accountants, as the fourth largest in their industry, purchased the second largest in their industry, and came out as a very close second in the industry, a couple years after filing bankruptcy. And yet, you know, oh, bankruptcy is such a big deal. No. If you understand the system, you know, and have the resources to deploy an army of highly educated, highly trained, highly skilled accountants, you can work all kinds of financial miracles, sleight of hand, smoke and mirrors. Somehow, everybody needs to look at the world through a lens of reality. You know, it's like that 80s, bad 80s movie, They Live, where Roddy Piper puts on the glasses and he can see the, you know, aliens when he's wearing the glasses. The lens of reality, though, applies to everything. You can tell me whatever you want, that your perception is, or, you know, your understanding of things based on an illusion that someone painted for you. You can tell me what you think reality is, but that doesn't make it true. And I always go back to men and women, yin and yang, man. Two very distinct and very different sides of the same coin that is the human race. Very different. You know, men, they'll tell us we're simple. Well, I don't really resemble that remark. But I will say that I'm black and white. I'm yes and no. I'm right and wrong. You know, women are not black and white. They're 50 shades of gray. Pun intended. And a clear yes is not necessarily yes to a woman. There's more to it. But we need that. You know, it's that emotional aspect, that, you know, left brain, right brain dynamic that you have between men and women is what makes us two halves of a whole. So you can be as progressive as you like. Biology is biology. Paint whatever illusion you want in front of me, and I'll see through it, because things are what they are. They are not what we are told. They are what they are. If you've seen the movie The Matrix, you know, the Wachowski brothers, I don't remember their name, I think that was their name, directed and produced. What an absolutely brilliant analogy for, you know, what we actually live in today. We're living in a matrix. We're living in a synthetic, artificial, holographic, painted reality. You know, I would love to somehow, with a translator, head into the jungles of the Amazon and find some tribe of humans who had not had meaningful contact with the modern world, you know, ever. And just sit down and have a conversation. If we could, you know, understand each other fluently and see how differently they think than modern man. Wouldn't that be interesting? Because I bet you what you would find is concepts that are intimately similar
to what all of Western culture, you know, 100 years ago held as factual, there probably would be very little deviation. But now it's wildly different because we've progressed. I just did air quotes with my fingers. You know, we've progressed. No, it's time to regress. We're at a stage now where the human race, I won't say Western culture, modern man, I guess I said, modern man across all cultures, first world, maybe second world as well. You can leave out the tribe in the Amazon. But we have, air quotes, progressed to a point where we are about to fall for not just your run-of-the-mill deception. We are about to fall for a great deception. Something so big that it'll be unlike anything ever. Well, maybe. You know, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. History may not repeat, but it rhymes. I'm paraphrasing a couple wise people there. But, you know, so it may not be different. It may be a variation on a theme at some point in history, but something big, really big, and everybody's going to fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, if you're not wearing the lens of reality. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Knowledge is what gives you the lens of reality. Discernment. Some have it, some don't. But even if discernment is not one of your talents, you know, that ability to pierce the veil, see through the fog, and connect seemingly unconnected dots. Even if you don't, possess that talent, I mean, unless you're just dumb as a stump, if you have the ability, the tools to look at things through the lens of reality, you will see something different than what you're being told that you see, and you won't fall for it. It's the magician, you know, the magician. The magic trick on the stage is mostly just distraction. You know, you're looking at something in one hand while they're doing something else with the other. And if you know what's going on, that trick doesn't work on you. Things are not what they seem. Again, I love words that have multiple meanings. You know, in the old days, the term's still used, but people sit down to watch TV, and they check out what programming they want to watch for the evening, and they pick some programming that sounds like it'll be entertaining for them, and they proceed to watch that programming. And then they wonder why they're left programmed. Well, because you just downloaded into the biological computer between your ears some new programming. That word has a couple meanings. Why did they choose such a word? Why didn't they say, you know, line up? I'm trying to think of another thing off the top of my head. But, you know, just what shows are on tonight? No, it's programming. As they laugh in your zombie face. Because you fall for things that are hidden in plain view. Children are awesome. because they see things that oftentimes adults don't see. And I think it's because the biological computer between their ears has not downloaded as much programming. It's still working in its organic state, or closer to its organic state. You know, just like a computer, every time you click on something with the brain, every time you engage in something with your tablet, every time you touch an icon on the screen with your laptop, every time you click the mouse, you're engaging something. And that something has a resulting effect. You got to be careful on the internet, right? Don't click the wrong something. You'll get some malware. I think the same thing happens with the biological computer between our ears. And just like the laptop that I'm talking to right now, this machine does not run the way that it used to, because I've engaged, I've clicked on things back in, you know, XP days. My computer, after a year or two of surfing the internet, would start to get all clunky, you know, and run poorly and slowly. And I just reset it to default manufacturer settings. You know, just go in and reboot the thing to its original factory out-of-the-box configuration. We can't do that with the human brain. But I think that children do notice things, you know, because their brain is closer to that original factory configuration. It's raw, it's empty. The operating system is there from birth. That operating system that tells, you know, the heart to beat, the lungs to inhale and exhale, you know, tells them they're hungry, thirsty. The operating system is there, and every day of their life, some more programming is installed. And that's why I always talk about how critical it is with kids that you're, man, that you're consistent, you know. You don't throw them curveballs. You just give them the same consistent routine. Don't contradict yourself. It causes confusion. It creates connections in the biological computer that will still be there 30 years from now and may make them a snowflake with their therapy dog, you know, crying in their safe space. So let's not create those unnecessary synapses, because, you know, we are installing and running software and drivers in the biological computer of our children from the day of their birth, and you can't restore them to original factory configuration. You know, so words mean things. I try and keep my kids away from what, you know, our family calls screen time, TV and video games. And I try and keep them away from it because I don't, you know, again, it's so subtle, this illusion. I remember watching TV back in the 90s. Back when I actually used to watch TV. And, you know, my wife and I, newlywed, we liked our Thursday night programming. Friends, right? Huge show. ER, it's right around the same time. But Friends specifically. And I watched, progressively, the programming begin to add files of malware gradually. Progressively, just little tidbits with the homosexuality. Until in the process of 5 years, suddenly all the new shows were, you know, literally were gay themed. What was it? I'm glad I don't remember. My biological computer has deleted some of that malware. But the shows that would come out, I mean, we're themed. We're homosexual themed. After they gradually introduced those files into the programming, then suddenly it was everywhere, and it created the illusion again that this was totally commonplace, and that every workplace did have three gay guys and a lesbian. Hey, I think I just came up with a new TV show. Three gay guys and a lesbian. You know, that process put us in the spot we are today, where you've got, bathrooms at Target. Say no more, say no more. And now, I mean, you're just a bigot, a homophobe, chauvinist. No, man. I am what a man has always been. Because older is better. I'm not joining you all in your new normal. You know, you're this illusion of reality. Painting a picture that does not exist. It doesn't exist. I mean, how is it? You know, let's peel back a layer of the molecule here. How is it that the same progressive culture that subscribes to the theory, words mean things, of evolution, that would say that human beings are animals, could be okay with two male animals going through the motions of procreation? But I thought we were animals. So if we are animals, find me any other species of animal anywhere that does that. There's no such thing. Okay? So let's go ahead and stick with your air quotes theory and go to the nearest missing link in your theory of other primates, that they're animals on the same, you know, genus or whatever, don't claim to know, that human beings are. We're primates too, right? So go find me two male chimpanzees getting it on. I mean really getting it on, okay? Not humping each other's leg like a dog. I mean, really. But no, that screws up their paradigm. You can't talk about that because now you're wearing the lens of reality. They don't have one of those. They don't have a pair of those shades. But this programming is introduced. It's introduced gradually. It's the frog in boiling water, the slippery slope. The higher the temperature becomes for the frog, as long as it's nice and slow, the closer the frog is to death. The further down the slope you slip, the faster you slide as you accelerate to the bottom. So again, you know, are seemingly unrelated dots connected? Older is better. Things are not what they seem. Diversity is good. But black is still black and white is still white. And I'm not talking about race, because we're the human race. We're all the same race, so I don't go there. The lens of reality opens up a kaleidoscope of understanding. Understanding that the complex layers, you know, this thing is not checkers, man. It's three-dimensional chess on steroids. And yet at its core, once you understand, no matter how complex something is, once you understand it, it's actually pretty simple. You know, I just won't. I won't give in to the new normals. You know, genetics, where we're being told that this CRISPR technology, where we're introducing modified genetics into a human cell, that that's somehow okay. It's not. You know, it shocks me that through the first chapters of Genesis, that God says so many times, each unto their own kind. You know, let's spend another, oh my gosh, hours on the Bible. But why? Why in Genesis, you know, written many thousands of years ago by a pre-Bronze Age man, would that even be necessary to mention? Well, of course they're going to breed each unto their own kind. You know, back to, you don't see two male animals getting it on. Well, you don't see a, you know, a parakeet getting it on with a, you know, an iguana. So, of course, it's each unto their own kind. So, why is it necessary to state such a thing? Well, because God is infinite. He knows all, sees all, the entire past, present, and future, simultaneously, in one super simple to him equation. The math works. Quick and easy. Doesn't, you know, for God, it's all understood right now, instantly. So that's why he put it there. You know, some could argue early on in Genesis that some of what we're experiencing today, which, you know, I touched very briefly a little bit ago, you know, that's something profound, this great deception, like never before seen, and stopped myself and said, wait, well, maybe it has been. You know, some would argue that early on in Genesis, the same thing was happening that's happening today with genetics. Variation on a theme, at least. No, I'm not giving in to these new normals. Not gonna do it. You not only will not drag me kicking and screaming, I will say more point blank, period, over my dead body, literally. And that time may be coming, right? Where when I push back against these progressive new normals, that it might cost me my life, and I don't care. Because, you know, I clearly understand other realities as well. One of which is that this is just the beginning, this life. So, you know, but no, nope, not gonna do it. I mean, I find myself, my gosh, it is like pulling teeth to sit through some of the training classes and meetings at this huge company I work for that I have to sit through, where they're talking about these HR issues like discrimination. You know, and presupposing and judging by appearance and demeanor or whatever. Point is they say that I can't, that I am not allowed to not hire a qualified person for a position that I'm filling just because it's a man wearing a wig and a dress. That's discrimination. No, it's not. Okay, yes, it is. It is discrimination. I am discriminating, and I'm discriminating
quite intentionally. Because in a sales environment, in the area in which I live, surrounded by the demographic which I am surrounded by, nobody is buying from Bob just because he says his name is Sally. And sales is where I generate my paycheck. I generate revenue for the company I work for, and I generate dividends for the shareholders whom hold shares in the company for which I work. So I kind of need some sales, and I'm not going to hire someone. But look, I don't care what you do. Because again, liberty. You know, the liberty litmus test is very, very simple. Do whatever the hell you want as long as it doesn't infringe on my liberty. I don't care what you do. Just don't impact my life. Unless I want you to. So, that's a great example because I hire Bob just because he calls himself Sally. And maybe he calls himself Bob on Monday and Sally on Tuesday because, you know, he's gender fluid, you know, gender dynamic. He feels one way on Monday and another way on Tuesday. Notice I keep saying he, because Bob is still Bob. He is he, regardless. But no, he's going to impact on my liberty if I hire him, because he will negatively impact my paycheck. But the little snowflake gets to have blue hair. And if they're not hired for this job they want, then they're being discriminated against. Yeah, well, don't have blue hair. You know, and I can go on and on about this. Minimum wage. If you don't like what I pay you, quit. Go get a different job. You know, if you want to have blue hair and I don't hire you, that's your choice. Go have blue hair. And go get a job at a tattoo parlor or, you know, somewhere where blue hair is encouraged. Pretty simple. If you're Bob and you want to be called Sally and wear a dress and a wig, pack your bags and go move to a state where that's readily accepted. And a town, you know, San Francisco or whatever. Not to generalize, but likely candidate, San Francisco. You know, go move there. Where your lifestyle choices are accepted. But do not make me accept them, because I won't. And again, I'm going to rewind. It's like pulling teeth to sit through a meeting or an HR training in this big company that I work for where they're telling me how it's going to be in the new normals and that I have to progress and get on board. Technically, the company is infringing on my liberty hardcore at that moment, because if I'm allowed to exercise my freedom as an individual in that situation, I should be able to state quite clearly that I disagree. You know, but I can't. I have to bite my tongue until there's blood squirting out of the corner of my mouth, because, you know, I need the job. I got a family to feed. I got bills to pay. You know, again though, the Liberty litmus test. Should my employer be able to require me to join them in the new normal? Yes. Absolutely. It is a privately owned company. It is their right to require of their employees whatever they want. And if I don't like it, I can quit and go find another job. And trust me, I've considered it. The problem is we live in a world now with all these, you know, progressive new normals. This new reality that's being painted for us, where it's almost to the point that I can't find another job that's not like that. Varying degrees. So it's a choice, I suppose. And honestly, I'm embarrassed that I continue to work there. But in the area I live, with the skill set and background that I possess, it's a good job on its surface. Pays pretty good, benefits are great. And in the economic situation that this country is in today, I actually have it pretty dang good in terms of the job. You know, but it's kind of embarrassing. But it's everything I can do not to say something in that environment, because it's not right. If it was right, and so is the theory of evolution, then, you know, the dogs would be doing it. The birds, the bees, the apes, the kangaroos. Oh, wait, we must not be animals. We must be higher. You know. But that doesn't work with your theory. Well, I am not progressing. Because I'm looking around at the world through the lens of reality. And it's quite apparent to me that things are not what they seem. Things are not what you're telling me that they are. And it doesn't matter, you know, what it looks like on the surface and how pretty a picture you can paint and, you know, how simple a description you can give me. I'm not getting the whole story. And we deserve the whole story. So I'll find it myself. Anyways, this was an introduction to my general philosophy. And it surprises me that anyone may even give a crap what I think or have to say. But, you know, I am told by people close to me that I have a level of discernment that other people are lacking, you know, and that I'm able to connect dots that to other people seem completely unrelated, and that these things are helpful for other people to come to a better understanding of what they're really up against, what's really going on. So if that's the case, I hope I help. I hope I can help. I'm capable of the most inane ranting, but if you pause for a moment, it may not be seamless, but it is one garment. You know, one tapestry that eventually connects 1,000 pieces together so that we have a bigger picture. But anybody who thinks that they have it figured out is wrong, because you don't. September 11th, 2001. I woke up in the morning to my alarm clock going off on a radio station that was breaking news for obvious reasons. At the time, I worked in the car audio industry, and I had a very high-end sound system in my truck, and man, loved my music at as high a decibel level as I could handle.
And I woke up that morning and I turned on the TV and I watched the second tower hit and I watched the whole thing go down. And I got in my truck and drove to work. And I started my truck and I reached over and I flipped my stereo from FM to AM. And it's never gone back. I went through stages, voted for George W. Bush twice. And then at some point, 6 or 8 years after that switch was thrown that morning, I started bumping into some new information. Not the illusion that I was being force-fed of what reality was, but some other individuals, a hell of a lot smarter than me, that were pulling back each one molecule layer, peeling away the onion to get to what reality was. And then I began my own research and started looking at the world through the lens of reality. And not a day goes by, you know, that I don't have some new realization. Some days it's an epiphany. Other days it's something very simple. But I got no use for this fluff. You can keep it. Things are what they are, and that's what they are. And no amount of words, no matter how colorful they are, no alternative description, no matter how simple it may seem, no other new normal is going to paint over this tapestry of reality for me. It's just not going to happen. Because I have the lens, I see you, and I see your lies and your deception. And you are of your father, the devil.